Today's share in the Dear Shem Mishnah Berurah Yomi program is Daf Kuf Tesvav Omud Beis. We're in the fifth volume of Mishnah Berurah. In the Ezras Hashem, we're going to be finishing up the beautiful Siman Tuf Kuf Aleph, which is dealing with different types of firewood on Shabbos and starting Tuf Kuf Beis. We begin with the last Sif Zayin, which is on the top line. The Mechaber tells us now about Shkedim V'Egozim. You have almonds and walnuts. Sha'achlu Me'Erev Yontif. You ate them on Erev Yontif, so that means you open them up and you have their peels around, their shells. So masikin beklipeyan beyantif. You're allowed to use those shells as firewood because they were opened up before yantif, and therefore they are in fact not considered muktza. They are muchan. However, v'yamacholam beyantif. If you ate the walnuts and the almonds on yantif itself, so then ein masikin beklipeyan. You're not allowed to use their shells for firewood. What's the rationale? So the Mishnah Berurah tells us sivkot lamid b'hu hadin. Same thing would apply b'tmarim with dates. When you ate them on Yontif, in Masikin Megarinein, you're not allowed to take their seeds and go and use those for firewood as well. And this is true. Vafilu Aklipin Vagarinein, even if these shells and these seeds, Ru'uy Lamachabema, are still, they're not Mokza, because they can be given to your animals, but you can't use them for firewood. Batam, it may she'es mo'ayum mutarim utveilim le'ocha, because before Yontif started, they were in fact subordinate to the food, which is the fruit, the almonds or the walnuts or the dates, and they consider it like a food. And they're fit for human consumption, not for animal consumption. It's not normal to give human food to animals. And therefore, now, after you've eaten them, the remaining pits and the shells, so it is muktza because of nolad, because these weren't considered in existence as animal food yesterday, and therefore only now after you've eaten the fruit or the nut does the shell or the seeds or the pits become animal fodder, so it's nolad on yontif. The issue footnote number 19 brings down, he knew he was going to eat them. He bought them for yontif, to have these delicious dates or these delicious almonds and walnuts. So he knows after he eats them, they're going to be the klipa left over. So nevertheless, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, mikol mokum kiven shaklipos nitzrachos lepri kidei lishomro adzman achila, since these are necessary to preserve the fruit, to preserve the nuts until you eat them, they are considered kipri atzmo, and therefore they are no lad when they now become animal fodder. He says, "V'av garine pri sha'achar achila sapri yesh b'em shimush." He says, even if you have pits inside that after you've eaten them, they still the pits are usable. For example, kagon garine meshemesh, so sunflower seeds. Shalachar achila sim misham shil misachik la'yildadim. The children will play with them after the food is eaten. Nevertheless, the Aruch HaShabbos brings down, when you open up this on yontif, the seeds inside are also because of nolad. Because, like we just pointed out, they were considered part of the food at the start of yontif, and they therefore have the name of an ochel upon them. And it's only during the middle of yontif, after you've opened them up, that they become a mischak, a game for the children, and therefore they're considered like a new entity and nolad. The issue foot number 20 brings down, in regards to Hilcha Shabbos, we actually have a kula. In Simin Shin Ches, we learned, if the pits are edible by animals, they're not muktzah, and you can actually give them to the animals. Nevertheless, the pre-warden writes that we're stricter by yontif. Shilagabi nolad, in regards to this din of nolad, yontif chomer mi Shabbos. Very interesting din. Back to Mishnah Berurah, v'daf go to Marim Chashuvim. That which we said, when you eat these tmarim, the pits inside are no longer going to be usable on yontif. So the reasoning is that's only because they're good. The tmarim chashuvim sheinisha mehem alagarin klum, because you totally eat all the good fruit and you're left with really just the pit inside. However, avot tmarim roim about but lousy dates. The Sharet Zion in Oslamites says this is what we call in the Gemara tamrei armiyasa. They're known as tmarim that are Aramean tmarim, and he brings down, they're given to animals at the start. They're not only eaten by humans because they're really not that high quality, so people give them to animals from the start. So these are really already considered royal achilas behema. And since you always leave a little bit behind on the pit, therefore you're allowed to go and move these pits. They're not considered muktzah, they're not considered no in our case. Now we go to the Ramah. The Ramah says, Hagah Gam ein lahasik im hoer gozim vashkedim atzman. He says, you're not allowed to take these walnuts or these almonds and throw them into the fire. Elo im kein heim adayin beklipa, unless they are still in their pit, in their shell. Mishbur explains Sivkot Lamed Aleph, the ein muchonim lahasikla, because we don't consider the almonds or the walnuts to be considered muchon, prepared for firewood. Shein derech klal aniach echol malesh, because we don't throw food on the fire as firewood. As opposed to sometimes utensils, in order to go and feed the fire, if you run out of firewood, so you will throw a lousy chair into the fire as firewood. Because you'll take inexpensive wooden utensils and use them as firewood. However, Mishbur brings down from the Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi differs with this. The Yerushalmi says you can go throw these walnuts or almonds into the fire. The chaim pasak harashba. He brings down from the El Yerabba. This is also pasak harashba. Sivkot Lamed Beis. Even the Ramah said, however, you're allowed to use them if they are still inside their shells. Da'az muchonim ktsas lahesek agav klipasim. Then, in that situation, we don't consider it. It's just that you're throwing food into the fire. You're throwing some shell into the fire, and therefore that is allowed. The Ramah continues, and he writes ulapidim. These are like torches, right? We say Dvor was Ashes Lapidos. Lapidos was the one that made the wicks and made the flames. So Lapidim, if a person has over here, the Ramah says Lapidim, that are left over, Shinishar Miyon Tavrishon Shekavu, so they were extinguished, but there's still enough of a torch here that you could still use it. Mutul Achzor Ladlikon, a person would be permitted to take this torch that you would use on the first day of Yontif, and it would be permissible lachsar ulhadlikum to go and take it and relight it afilu biyom tov sheni shor Rosh Hashanah, even on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, or on a Sunday Yontif achar Shabbos. It comes out after Shabbos. This is brought down by the Rosh and the Mordechai, and let's understand now what we're talking about by going to Sif Katan Lamed Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah. And he says, the same thing applies to this torch, v'vadin psila, the same thing applies to wicks, shenidliku b'Shabbos v'nichbeis, that were lit on Shabbos, or on the first day of Yontif, and they then went out, but you're still left with the wick. So Sivkot Lamed Dalet Butalach, so you're allowed to go and relight them. Rod Salomar, what the Mishnah Berurah is saying, the Ramah is telling us, Lafuke, as opposed to Mishirotze Lesor, as opposed to the opinion that we might have thought to say that it's not allowed to relight these wicks or torches. Why? Mitam de Eitzim Shenidliku V'Nichbu, because wood that was once lit and then went out. And likewise, vadin psila shenichbeis, a wick that was once lit and went out, nolchin achar kach biyosel hadlaka me'etzim upsilos chadoshos. It will relight much easier the second time. Some people have the minhag that they light the Shabbos candles for their wife before Shabbos, and then they blow it out. So when the wife comes and goes and lights them, it will light much more easily. So he says, in this situation, v'nimtso, according to this opinion, nimtso shakaviyo shenichbu b'Shabbos, that extinguishing that happened on Shabbos, when it went out, hechshirisom l'mocho liyos nilokim mitov. On Sunday Yontif, that will make it actually light better. And therefore, v'hudome, this is similar, l'may dekaim lo'an beitzo shenolde b'Shabbos, asur b'Yontif shalachreya mishum achana. Because it looks like Shabbos would be meichim for Yontif, just like an egg that is laid on Shabbos. You can't eat it on Yontif, because it looks like Shabbos prepared for Yontif. So tovia, the extinguishing of this torch or wick on Shabbos seems to be preparing it for Yontif. That's the thought that the Mishnah Berurah says we don't hold like. And he says, Ubali Svarazo, Hosifu Yosef. And this incorrect opinion, the people that held like it, added on another reason. The Ilu Eitzim Opsilos, Shenichbu Biyom Rishon, Shoresh Hashanah, Asru L'mochraso. The wicks or the torches that were lit on the first day of Rosh Hashanah should be Asru on the second day. The Kivin Dishnei Yamash Rosh Hashanah, Einam Sveka. The 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, according to this opinion, isn't Sveka the Yoma. They're two separate days. The rabbi set up. No, we're going to hold 2 days. And they have 2 separate kedushas according to this idea. And therefore, the kedusha of the first day of Rosh Hashanah can't prepare for the second day's kedusha of Rosh Hashanah. It's no different than Sunday Yontif after Shabbos. So that's the svara that the Mishnah Berurah doesn't like. He says the Ramah is telling us that this is incorrect. The Ramah, Cholik al svaras elu haposkim. The Ramah disagrees with this svara, with these poskim. Usvirulei, the Ramah holds, this is lo mikre achona kimo beitzu shenolda. This is different than a beitzu that's nolda on Shabbos can't be eaten on Yontif on the next day. Sharei gufo eitzim, because the wood itself, or psilo, or the wicks, hayubaola mikvar. It's not like an egg. They were in the world already. Elo shenishtabchu. They got better because by putting them out, the wick is easy to light. And the reason why the Ramah picked this lenient opinion, because it's most of the Rabbanim that were before him held like this. You see this in the Mishnah Berurah, in the Shaar HaTzion, Os Mem Beis, where he gives you a whole list of Achronim. Ayin Shon. Bottom line is, the Mishnah Berurah says, why settle for the lenient opinion that the Ramah brings down over here, even though there are many Achronim that agree with him, when you can be Yosei everything? Don't rely upon the wicks and the torches that went out on the first day and use them on the second day. Right? Make new ones, light new ones on the second day. If you didn't do this, if you are going to light these pre-lit wicks that went out, don't light them on the side that they were lit on. If you can't light it on this other side, this way you're not violating this idea of Yontif being Mechin for the second day of Yontif, or Shabbos being Mechin for Yontif. This concludes the beautiful Simen Tov Kuf Aleph, and now we start Tov Kuf Beis, which deals with Dinei HaEsh B'Yontif, deals with fire on Yontif. Tov Kuf Aleph was dealing with the firewood. Now we're dealing with the fire itself. And the Mechaber starts off in Sif Aleph and he tells us, Ein Motzin Eish. One is not allowed to light a fire. One is not allowed to create fire on Yontif. You're allowed to use fire on Yontif. You're allowed to cook with fire, pre-existing fire. You can transfer fire, but you're not allowed to create fire. You can't strike a match, for example. Ein Motzin Eish. You're not allowed to make a fire. Lo Min Ha'Etzim, not by rubbing two sticks together. Lo Min Ha'Avadim, not by rubbing two stones together. Lo Min Ha'Ofer. Mishnah Berurah will explain that they would dig into the dirt and there would be maybe sparks flying off. So you're not allowed to do that. And likewise, Lo Min Ha'Mayim. How does water create fire? We'll see that in the Mishnah Berurah in a moment. But all of these methodologies, a person is not allowed to use them on Yontif to create fire. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot Aleph tells us, reason why, we should call Elu, who molded Eish b'Yontif. You're creating fire on Yontif, and that's not allowed to be done. Now, Deir Yishuv footnote number one is a fascinating footnote that deals with all the modern appliances in terms of electricity, and how do we view in halacha electric lights. So, on Yontif, you're not allowed to create a light. You can transfer light. How do we view electric lights on Yontif? So, in the issue for number one, it brings down hadlokas or hachashmo Yontif, lighting electric lights on Yontif. So, this is a big machlokas amongst the poskim. He brings down from Chaim Moshe Grudzinski, Tzatzal, the great posek from the pre-World War II era, and he brings down Sha'af Shabal Ha'orach HaShulchan Heko, the famous Orach HaShulchan, the great posek. So he was makel in regards to lighting chashmal, lighting electric lights. So even though the Orach HaShulchan is makel, almost all the other poskim disagree. Mikom Mokom Ha'alochi La'asur, Yochai Moshe Grudzinski says that we don't paskin here like the Orach HaShulchan. Instead, he paskin like all the other poskim, and he gives a whole list of poskim over here who basically argue that the Orach HaShulchan wasn't given the right facts about how electricity works. And he thought it was a continuous stream, and therefore, you're not creating fire, you're transferring already existing fire, which is allowed. You can take a candle and light another candle on Yontif. So he thought that the electric lights, when you turn them on, you're just allowing the light that's already there to be transferred to the electric light. So therefore, he thought it was good, but all the other poskim say that that's not true, and they all say that this is an issur d'rabbanan. However, the Chazon Ish says it's an issur of boneh, and it's an issur d'oraisa. In any event, this is the basic machlokes, and we paskin that it's also to go light electric lights on Yontif, even though the Orach HaShulchan said that it's permissible. Now, what about turning on electrical appliances on Yontif? So this is discussed in the next paragraph in this footnote, and basically the poskim say that it's forbidden to do so. Ein nochu lahatir groma b'yontif lechatchila, elik shinasis letzorach. If there was a real tzorach to do this, so maybe there might be some potential hatter, but just to make your life easier, he says that's not allowed. So, for example, using a dishwasher on Yontif, he says it's not allowed. He then discusses, what about asking a non-Jewish person to turn on some sort of an electrical appliance for you or a light, letzorach mitzvah, to doing a mitzvah for you on Yontif? So the Prima Gordon brings down, Shein Ligor B'Misha Mekab Adarva. You can't really protest too strongly against somebody that does allow a non-Jewish person to do this, because it could be a Svek Sveka, because maybe over here it's only an Issad Rabbanon to go and turn on the light, and asking the guy, so that's an Issad Rabbanon, it's a Shvus de Shvus. However, Shvus de Shvus is permissible B'Malka Mitzvah, so maybe it might be permissible, and therefore you can't protest against people that follow that lenient opinion. And certainly he brings down, Yesh lahati lomal anochin ladiko l'tzorach besakneses chadomi can ask the guy in the shul to turn on the lights, etc. on Yontif. Later in the footnote, he brings down, what about using a telephone for a doctor to call on Yontif for a chola she'ein bo sakana? Now on Shabbos, you wouldn't be allowed to do this. But on Yontif, he says, brings down from Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, who's brought down the Nishma Savrom, mutter, one would be permitted to do so. Because l'das rov ha'poskim, holadas eish, eino isur el b'derabanan, it's only the Rabbanon, and therefore, v'hutu labor al shvus l'tzarech chola, and you're allowed to do a shvus at the Rabbanon for a sick person, even the chola she'ein bo sakana. He adds an additional reason that this is a psik ratio, the lo nichole. You don't care that the lights go on the phone. All you want to do is dial the number. And therefore, you're not interested in this, and it is permissible. However, according to the Chazon Ish, says that the daraisa, you wouldn't be allowed to do this. Back to Mishnah Berurah, he says that the whole reason you're not allowed to do this is because it's molded eish b'yantiv, and therefore, behold, the efshul hamsi eish me'erev yantiv. You should have done this before yantiv. You light a fire before yantiv and use it to transfer to another fire. Shemuchan lo b'yantiv, and therefore, lahuta lahodlid b'yantiv. Therefore, you're not allowed to do this to light it on yantiv. The law of Mishari Makshir is no better than all the other Makshiri Yochol Nefesh. Shefer Las also be all Yom. So anything you can do before Yontif that won't ruin the taste. So therefore, you're allowed to do it before Yontif and you're not allowed to do it on Yontif. You should do it before Yontif, you're not allowed to do it on Yontif. Sifkot and Beis. Lomino Eitzim, you're not allowed to go and rub two sticks together. Kagon. Shechochichin Zubazu, you rub them together. Or Machin Zubazu, hit one to the other. Achitachin. So those sparks come off and it lights. Sivkot and Gimel, likewise, a little bit of offer. How do you make fire from dirt? Karka kosha, you have hard dirt. Kishachofrin, also when you dig into it, motzia or. It can let off sparks in some way and it will light a fire. V'chein kihay gadna, similarly, kishiyachatich rigve adam, when you take clumps of dirt, elu zu bezu, and you rub them together, you'll see a or. Sometimes it can also lead to spark coming off. V'lo ben amayim, sivkot and dalad, you likewise now let it go and make fire from water. How do you do that? So the Mishnah Berurah explains, Hainu, shenos din mayim b'chli zechuchis levana, you put water into a white glass, a white crystal, v'nos din b'chami, you put it out in the sun. U'kisha Hashem eshcham, when the sun gets hot, ma'od, very hot, m'karvin elov n'oris pishtan, if you go bring some easily flammable subject, like n'oris pishtan, like pieces of flax, vibo eris, it will burst into flames, and that's how you can do it. What happens if you did any of these things that we just said you're not allowed to do? What happens to that flame? Ubi d'yevet imar v'hotzi, if you did in fact create a light like this, mutu lishtavish ben. It is permissible to get hanoah from this light. Then he tells us, ayin in chuvus chasav sofer, simin samach zayin, sha'osu lahadlich tzindelholz. What's that? Shekorin shvebelech. What's that? Gafruvim, it says in the Targum, matches. You're not allowed to go and strike a match. Even by putting it into hot ashes, she'ein bo'esh. If there's no fire there, rachom esh, just heat. So even though that might light the match, you're not allowed to do that. Da'lo mamtzi davar chadash, because there was no fire there before, and now you're creating the fire. Likewise, v'chein l'chachei chatzin d'loch, to go and scratch the match, b'barzel cham meluban, to go put it on some hot metal that's white, like in an oven made of steel, cost of gamkin a little near lahatu. He doesn't think you can do that as well. However, if you actually have a burning coal there that's already fire, then you can take the matches, shetadlik, and put them on this hot thing and go and this burning coal and go and light your match. Avshein begachelis shall have its kishur, even though it doesn't have a flame that you can actually see, but that's allowed. And likewise from coals that are still glowing a little bit, so you can use those coals as well to go light the match. The issue foot number 5 brings down, even if the match doesn't touch the fire itself, just a little bit above the fire, and it's enough heat to go and light the match, so Shlomo Zalman Zatzal says that's okay, that doesn't consider that you created a new flame over here, but you took from the existing flame and you lit your match. And Mutalasus Kane, you can do this. On the other hand, the Stipe Lagon disagrees, also Lasus Kane. And there's also the opinion of Rav Yashiv Zatzal and Rav Nissen Karlitz Zatzal that they both said also you can't keep the match above the flame, has to actually touch the flame in order for it to be considered a transfer and not a new flame. What about touching the match to an actual red hot, literally red hot strip? So there, Rav Moshe Feinstein, that sound, the Igros Moshe says, Nechshav hachut ke'esh gemura, that thing that you're touching it to, this chut chashmal, this electrical light, if it's really red hot, so then that's considered like an active flame and you can go light your match to it. With this, we conclude today's share.